Welcome to the final part of our roundtable discussion on the October 2009 Bishop's Synod for Africa. For the discussion, I was joined by Bishop John Rawsthorne, who was in Rome attending the synod, by Cecilia Taylor Kamara, who was born in Sierra Leone and is senior policy officer from the Bishop's Conference Office for Migration and Refugee Policy, and Monsignor John Dale, National Director of the Church's official mission support agency, Missio. In this final part, part three, we discussed multinational companies trading in Africa's mineral wealth. Of course, we discussed poverty and also HIV and AIDS. Bishop John Rawsthorne.
One of the crucial issues that affects us as well as Africa is multinationals. You know that countries which are among the richest in the world in mineral deposits and so on are being raped by overseas companies in collusion with government members of their own country, and the people are living in abject poverty.
That's right.
That is a sin.
Absolutely. And it's where CAFOD is absolutely great. I mean, but they are out in the Eastern Congo. CAFOD is there as the lead agency for Caritas. And the world hardly hears about Eastern Congo and the genocide that takes place there, not simply, you know, year on year, but day on day. Yeah. Thousands and thousands of people are being killed. And the church is there at the forefront, providing the care, providing the refugee centres, providing that which no one else can do. You know, that sense of people still being valued despite being isolated and raped, as you say, physically and financially, emotionally.
Yes. One of the basic things that's required is transparency. Transparency of contracts, who's making the contract and with whom, and what are the conditions of that contract, and who is paying what to whom. All that sort of thing. If that's out in the open, then you're into a different ball game.
Do you think, Bishop John, that, I mean, you're right to make sure that point is brought up about multinationals and what they're doing to the mineral wealth of African countries. Do you think this is something that, although was acknowledged, you know, in the mid-20th century, has become slightly forgotten about now?
I don't know. All I know is it's still going on. Mm. And you know, it shouldn't be going on. Mm. And Western governments can do something about that.
Mm. And I think we as church can do something about it, both in terms of campaigning here and That's in right. the support that we give through Missio and others to the local church, to the bishops and agencies in, you know, because they are our brothers and sisters in faith.
Yes. Cecilia, did you want to come in there?
Yes, I cannot add sufficiently enough, stress sufficiently enough the significance of the unfairness in trade deals with Africa. And to bring Sierra Leone in the equation, 10 years of civil war was prompted not by any tribal hatred for one tribe or the other, but it was all because of the diamonds of Sierra Leone. And so many That's people right. suffer just because of the wealth of a country that we have no access to because it's smuggled out of the country anyway and sold in the Western world.
Now, Cecilia, actually, that's a good time to talk about your experiences of working for the church in Sierra Leone. Was that an issue at the time for the church?
It had always been an issue because the church did speak openly about it. As a young teenager, I grew up on the theme of the theology of the young Christian students, the See, Judge and Act methodology, where we could look at situations within the student milieu with a Christian attitude and judge as Christ would judge it. And even as children, we wrote articles about issues that were happening. We campaigned for the elimination of poverty. There, in those days, it was known as Option for the Elimination of Poverty. In the 1990s, it becomes Make Poverty History. And even as young people, the church taught us to look critically at situations and to be vocal about it.
That's absolutely fascinating. I mean, we touched on poverty there, and how can we not, really? What's been said, Bishop John, about poverty? I know we've already talked about not generalising, but what's been said about poverty in Africa?
Well, you know, what is being said basically is that vast numbers of Africans live in abject poverty, And it's not poverty caused by, some of it is caused by drought and things like that. And at the moment, of course, Ethiopia, Kenya are suffering terrible droughts. But on the whole, it is caused by bad governance and by foreign companies draining the country of its riches.
We've been obviously in this country, there's a lot of talk about the G8 and the Millennium Development Goals, which I know that CAFOD's been obviously really calling upon the government to live up to the promises it made there. Is that something that would make a difference if they actually follow through on those Millennium Development Goals?
But they're years behind on them now, aren't they? You know, 2015 is the D-Day, isn't it? And it's not going to be anything like that. And I suppose as I looked on my computer this morning and I see that Ethiopia is saying 6.2 million people are now in need of food. And as those, and Kenya, I know, I'm told that in Nairobi, they have electricity. A big modern city has electricity 2 days a week because of the drought and its hydroelectric electricity and so on. So all huge challenges like that make slippage on the Millennium Goals that much more likely.
Well, it's clearly an issue that certainly we need to do our bit on, I think, over here. And I hope we continue to do that through CAFOD and other organisations. I just want to touch on HIV and AIDS as well, Bishop John, because clearly it comes up a lot. And when I was reading about the synod out there, I detected a certain degree of frustration, particularly from the Archbishop of Durban, Cardinal Napier. Really, just I just felt that frustration in how the media is constantly portraying the church as being part of the problem. It seemed to me that he sort of would rather refocus us on the fact that the church carries out a very important function in the treatment of the disease and the quality of care. Is that something that we're keen to impress here?
I think it's very important to impress that the church is absolutely at the forefront of everything that's good in dealing with you don't deal with AIDS, you deal with people who are suffering, who are HIV positive or suffering with AIDS or suffering with TB, malaria and the other things that people become open to as a result of AIDS. I think also the church is determined to keep rock steady on the issue that this is an issue of the whole person and that education in abstinence is not something silly. It's about the family, it's about the individual person, and that sort of education needs to be developed. I have to say that education in all its facets for young people in Africa is something that is very important to the bishops, and they're very conscious that it needs to be improved. A lot more money needs to go into educating young people into the catechesis of life and so on and of the faith, but also into the broader education of young people. So yes, the church is HIV AIDS is one of the things that's at the forefront. A bishop who will be nameless gave an impassioned plea on HIV AIDS, and I said to him afterwards that really was a very important intervention, and he said, well, my brother and my niece and my nephew and so on all died through HIV AIDS.
So I mean, looking at it from afar, it's difficult to really truly understand that sort of pain. I mean, Cecilia, what was it like in Sierra Leone with regard to HIV AIDS?
There was very little money for campaigns. And in fact, I was a member of a group called Society for Women and AIDS in Africa, where we actually went to educate people about AIDS and to stress the importance of abstinence, because it is against the very grain of our society to equip young people, young girls, with the sort of recommendations most Western governments would make. Of course, they'll always have a financial or economic angle to it, but it was about educating young people to know the value of their bodies, to respect themselves. And that was one of the lines that we took.
Well, even if we put our faith, our shared faith, to one side here for a second, I mean, you surely can't refute the statistics when you look at Uganda, for instance, which is often cited as a very positive program when it comes to reducing HIV/AIDS, and that's an abstinence-based program, so it can't be ignored, can it? Even if it's not looked at in faith terms.
Absolutely.
And I think wise people in other parts of the world who are not, you know, Catholics or anything, are beginning to accept that the church has got a very important point in this regard.
Monsignor John, anything to add on that one?
Yeah, just to reinforce what the bishop is saying, just some of the facts and figures that directly the church cares for nearly 20 million pupils in primary and secondary schools throughout Africa. It was a huge number. And apart from all the other kind of influence we might have in that sector, we've got 5,500 hospitals and dispensaries in Africa. We're providing a hugely important part of the care infrastructure for the whole of the continent. I think one aspect that Bishop John was referring to there, the whole person, many of the people affected by HIV/AIDS, of course, have other family issues that need dealing with. So, for example, we've got 2,000 nursery schools, nearly 1,000 orphanages. Many of those are caring for young people who've lost their parents through HIV/AIDS, and so on. The figures are incontrovertible. You know, the church is at the forefront of caring for those with the disease, as well as providing the necessary education for those who are in the most vulnerable age range.
Well, it's good to hear. I mean, we do meet needs as the church, and so we should.
Absolutely. There's no question.
Well, I think we're fast running out of time, but Bishop John, I'd like it if you could just sum up for us the synod and just tell us what we might expect to see as the sort of, if you could identify one or two points, the strong conclusions that will come from the synod for Africa.
But before I do that, can I just say that women's issues have been very much proclaimed. Women's part in the church, the need to educate women to be able to take an even stronger place in the church and in the society in which they live, all that sort of thing has been very important indeed. I think that out of this will come a rallying cry to the church. A, to recognise the good things that are going on. One of the things I fear is that that we would lose sight of the great examples of good practice that are happening all over Africa in all sorts of different fields, within the church and outside the church as well. Good things are happening. So I think it will be a real rallying cry to the church to really get stuck into that interface between the church and the society in which we live, and to do that on behalf not just of the church, but to do that on behalf of people of the community of Africa, and the church is in a big and strong position to make a huge contribution to society and to the good of society.
Thank you for listening to our three-part roundtable discussion on the October 2009 Bishop's Synod for Africa. For all the very latest from the Catholic Church in England and Wales, visit www.catholicchurch.org.uk.